www.lostfound.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Today, we're going to open up the phone lines, take your phone calls, talk about some of the issues in the news, and we'll also take your emails, too. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Before we do that, we're going to hear one listener comment about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we were talking about the fallout from President Trump's remarks in Helsinki on Monday, along with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Here's what one listener had to say following yesterday's show.
Ron in Tampa, and I just wanted to leave a message about Tuesday's 11 o'clock show, specifically a couple of callers. One caller by the name of Wes, this fellow had a strong opinion about the fact that there was no proof against Donald Trump and the allegations that Trump made, how he spoke about the U.S. in very unflattering terms and sort of took the side of Russia and this and that. And he went on for quite a bit. My question would be to him and others, do you have the same feeling about wanting proof? Back in the day when Barack Obama was president, and almost from day one, he was accused of not being a U.S. citizen, of being a Muslim, not that there's anything wrong with that, of being a Nigerian, and all these other coded phrases and words that really is dog whistle language. And I'm just wondering if he and others who feel this way wanted to give an opportunity for proof to be shown instead of accusing Barack Obama, if he was accused when he was our president. And I think that Donald Trump made the case against himself when he said in front of Putin and in front of the world that America has done some things wrong. I don't think even George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan would have said anything remotely close to that. And it really is shameful.
Well, there was a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. We're going to take a bunch of phone calls today as we open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, the latest on that Helsinki controversy is that President Trump on Twitter this morning defended anew his much-criticized performance at the Helsinki summit, promising big results from better relations with Russia and hitting back at the haters. Trump made no mention of his having walked back comments yesterday that called into question U.S. intelligence findings of Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. Those comments, delivered alongside Russian President Vladimir Putin on Monday at a summit press conference, had prompted blistering bipartisan criticism here at home. Trump tweeted this morning, "So many people at the higher ends of intelligence loved my press conference performance in Helsinki," the president said. Senator Marco Rubio says he can guarantee that the Russians will interfere with the next U.S. election, and he's pushing legislation to impose tough sanctions if they do. The Florida Republican is working with Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen on a bill that would prohibit foreign governments from purchasing election ads, using social media to spread false information, or disrupting election infrastructure. And James Comey, the FBI director, was fired last year by President Trump, is urging voters to support Democrats in November's midterm elections. Comey says on Twitter that the Republican Congress has proven incapable of fulfilling the founders' design that ambition must counteract ambition. That refers to the need for Congress to provide checks and balances on presidential power. Comey wrote that all who believe in this country's values must vote for Democrats this fall. History has its eyes on us. The former FBI director recently said he no longer considers himself a Republican. Well, tonight there's a debate featuring all five of the Democratic candidates for governor. There will be a newcomer, billionaire developer Jeff Green. Green's joining the four other candidates tonight at Florida Gulf Coast University. It'll be his first debate since he entered the race a few weeks ago. Green is from Palm Beach. He has already spent $10 million in ads, mostly his own money. The debate begins at 7 this evening. It's on Wink TV in Fort Myers. Florida Governor Rick Scott, who was a multimillionaire businessman before he ran for office, is trying to convince an appeals court in Tallahassee to end a long-running battle over whether he is ignoring the state's financial disclosure laws. Attorneys for the Republican governor clashed in a courtroom yesterday with a Tallahassee attorney who contends that Scott is underreporting his vast personal wealth. Polls are showing that Ron DeSantis is beating Adam Putnam in the Republican primary for governor. There's a front page story in the Tampa Bay Times today about that. What DeSantis has going for him is frequent appearances on Fox News and the endorsement of President Trump. In Sumter County today at the Villages at 3 o'clock, there will be a candidates forum, a Republican gubernatorial forum, but only Adam Putnam is showing up for that at the Villages. That seems significant. MGM Resorts International is suing the hundreds of victims of the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history in a bid to avoid liability for the gunfire that rained down from its Mandalay Bay Casino Resort in Las Vegas last fall. The company argues in lawsuits filed in Nevada and California that it has no liability of any kind to the survivors or their families of the slain victims under a federal law enacted after the September 11 terror attacks. A high-stakes gambler, a white male, killed 58 people and injured hundreds more last year after he broke the windows of his Mandalay Bay suite and fired on a crowded concert below. An attorney who represents the victims who have sued MGM is describing the company's move as outrageous. And former U.S. President Barack Obama yesterday took aim at the loss of shame among political leaders when they're caught in a lie. And they just double down, he says, and lie some more. Obama gave a spirited speech in South Africa yesterday to honor Nelson Mandela. It was Obama's highest profile address since leaving office. Let's listen to a little bit of what former President Obama said yesterday. I want to get your take on this. Our phone number, 813-239-9663.
Look at history. Look at the facts. The fact that countries which rely on rabid nationalism and xenophobia and doctrines of tribal, racial, or religious superiority as their main organizing principle, the thing that holds people together, eventually those countries find themselves consumed by civil war or external war. Check the history books. The fact that technology cannot be put back in a bottle. So we're stuck with the fact that we now live close together and populations are going to be moving. And environmental challenges are not going to go away on their own. So that the only way to effectively address problems like climate change or mass migration or pandemic disease will be to develop systems for more international cooperation, not less. To say that our vision for the future is better is not to say that it will inevitably win. Because history also shows the power of fear. History shows the lasting hold of greed and the desire to dominate others in the minds of men, especially men. History shows how easily people can be convinced to turn on those who look different or worship God in a different way. So if we're truly to continue Madiba's long walk towards freedom, we're going to have to work harder, and we're going to have to be smarter. We're going to have to learn from the mistakes of the recent past. Now I'm actually surprised by how much money I got. And let me tell you something. I don't have half as much as most of these folks, or a tenth or a hundredth. There's only so much you can eat. There's only so big a house you can have. There's only so many nice trips you can take. I mean, it's enough. You don't have to take a vow of poverty just to say, well, let me help out a few of the other folks. Let me look at that child out there who doesn't have enough to eat or needs some school fees. Let me help him out. I'll pay a little more in taxes. It's okay. I can afford it. I mean, it shows a poverty of ambition to just want to take more and more and more. Instead of saying, well, I've got so much, who can I help? How can I give more and more and more? That's ambition. That's impact. That's influence. What an amazing gift to be able to help people, not just yourself. What was true then remains true today. Basic truths do not change. It is a truth that can be embraced by the English and by the Indian, and by the Mexican, and by the Bantu, and by the Luo, and by the American. It is a truth that lies at the heart of every world religion. That we should do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. That we see ourselves in other people, that we can recognize common hopes and common dreams. And it is a truth that is incompatible with any form of discrimination based on race or religion or gender or sexual orientation. And it is a truth that, by the way, when embraced, actually delivers practical benefits. Since it ensures that a society can draw upon the talents and energy and skill of all its people. And if you doubt that, just ask the French football team that just won the World Cup. Because not all of those folks looked like Gauls to me. But they're French. They're French.
Some excerpts from President Obama's speech yesterday in South Africa. Quite a different tone than what we're hearing out of Washington, D.C. these days. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Talking about the dangers of excessive wealth, the dangers of nationalism, and the power of bringing people together. What do you think? 813-239-9663. 239 writes anonymously, or I guess this is Charles in Tampa, rather. He says, Dishonored Donald is not walking back the comments he made. He's pretending that he meant to say something else. To be more clear, he's just lying through his teeth again. That's Donald's, Chris's opinion. Did I get that right? Charles's opinion, rather, in Tampa. And then David writes this, I'm very concerned about DeSantis now being in the lead for governor. I'd prefer Putnam, although I don't like Putnam trying to kiss the ring of Trump. DeSantis is far too right-wing and has already proven that he's focused more on the national spotlight than the interests of his constituents. I hate to say it, but I wish that the Tampa Bay Times would buy some of the recent negative stories on Putnam, or bury some of the recent negative stories on Putnam. I think that the negative publicity is helping to push Putnam further down in the polls. Well, I have a slightly different opinion. I think the endorsement of Donald Trump and the vast number of appearances that DeSantis has had on Fox News have propelled him to the lead. I think the Times stories, if anything, really don't affect much of the Republican primary. There was an interesting tweet yesterday by Adam Smith of the Times. He said he'd gone to a Hillsborough Republican meeting, I guess, yesterday, and one member complained to him that the Times was founded by a card-carrying communist. I think the GOP has just gotten to the point where they tune out newspapers. Now, not everybody in the GOP. If you're in the Republican Party and you read a newspaper regularly, I'd like to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Here's somebody from the 813 area code. Says, thanks for playing the Obama speech. I hope Obama will push hard in campaigning against Trump and for the Democratic candidate in 2020, writes Anonymous 813. Well, what's your take on this? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. I want to play sometime in this hour an excerpt, too, from the new Sacha Baron Cohen TV show. And we'll hear what he's up to recently. A lot of people, conservatives, have complained about the TV show, including Sarah Palin, who's featured on one of the shows. Adam writes this, Trump again falsely claimed that the U.S. is paying 90% of NATO's budget. The actual number is 22%. His lies are so easy to fact check, it's ridiculous, yet his supporters just believe anything he says. He also complained about having to defend NATO allies. The only time that's ever happened was 9/11 when NATO allies came to our aid. Yeah, NATO heavily involved in the U.S. wars in South Asia. What I'm wondering about is if President Trump is so concerned about the military budget, why in the last few months did he request and get $70 billion more dollars for the military? If he wants to save money on the military, why did he vastly increase the military budget this year? If he's really concerned, what do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Carlos in Tampa, who wants to talk about Helsinki. And by the way, Frank Knox is our phone producer today. Carlos, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, very quick. I will look at it differently. This is regarding Trump's comment. Hey, we the United States of America, over decades, we have removed many elected companies. So the first time it did happen to us by a foreign sovereign country. So we need to feel the pain. What the damage that we made to other countries, like, for example, what happened in Iran back in the 50s when we have removed elected president. So we have to feel the pain as well. We need to know and realize what this country did to a lot of countries and still doing it as we speak.
Yeah, you're right, Carlos. I mean, the U.S. interfered in foreign countries many, many, many times over the last 70 years or so. Even beyond that, we sent our military to places like Nicaragua in the 20s. We invaded all sorts of other countries. We interfered with elections, like you said. But I still don't think, I think we still have the right to say two things. One is, let's not do that again. Let's not interfere in other countries' elections again. Or let's not overthrow another country. We have the right to say that. And we also have the right to say to Russia, don't interfere in our election.
Yeah, I agree. But, I mean, Trump, he was so happy in that, during the conference, he was extremely happy and thanking Putin. And I'm sure he's going to be elected and same thing is going to happen again. And you can prove it, and, you know, there is a lot of politics around it, and it's something's going to happen over and over, and that's what it is. And it is a fact, it is a reality, and there is nothing we can do about it. I mean, the guy, he damaged, you know, the CIA, the FBI, all, you know, what can you do? Nothing.
All right. Carlos, thanks a lot. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you, sir. Bye now.
All right. So there's Carlos kind of setting up the tone of the conversation here. Let's go to Rita in Wesley Chapel. Hi, Rita. You're on WMNF 88.5 FM.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that as a former teacher in Hillsborough County, fourth and fifth graders for 20 years, they come up with better excuses and made up lies than Trump does. That thing about saying he meant to say would instead of wouldn't or whichever. And given the context of everything else he said, Trump's strong denial, supporting that, how could anybody possibly believe that his excuse makes any sense?
So you're saying that the students that you taught, fourth and fifth graders, are cleverer, more clever than President
Absolutely.
Trump?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It really brought back, you know, many situations of people denying they had done things that I knew they did.
When the president said that he meant to say wouldn't yesterday, you just didn't buy that.
It made no sense.
Yeah,
no sense at all other than trying to create more confusion. And I could just see Putin's brain, the look of glee on his face. If we don't trust our own intelligence agencies, then we don't trust anybody and they can do whatever they want to do. Trump will deny that that's what happened.
All right, Rita, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Great to hear from you. Thanks, Rita. And let's go to Terry, who's in Tampa, who's calling in. Terry, you're on 88.5 FM. What would you like to say?
Well, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to address this great sickness that's occurring in our country. And I hope somebody figures out a medicine for it. Right now, we're in the midst of an epidemic of terrible brainwashing and acceptance of things that are incomprehensible and actually very detrimental to our mental thinking. We have a person that went to a foreign country, and I'm a military veteran, and he went to a foreign country, and he cowered before another leader that's been our traditional enemy. And he, like they said about Churchill, he appeased that man, and he insulted the American integrity and respect that we had around the world for our FBI, CIA, and other spy agencies that have saved us numerous times. And it's an insult for those apologists that come on and try to twist it and try to make people think that some kind of way that this man was other than what he was, a traitor to the United States before the world. And it just galls me that they come out and they try to twist it and try to make it seem as though some kind of way he made an elementary grammatical mistake. No. He insulted the United States of America way worse than some guy kneeling down protesting the murders or the deaths of people by government guns. And so we just have to run. We just have to get some medicine to fix this sickness that is making people able to accept terrible things like that and apologize for it and pretend it didn't happen. It did happen, and we saw it happen. And you're not going to tell me that lie that it did. And I thank you, Rob, for that.
All right, Terry, thanks
you
a lot.
That, brother.
All right.
You handle that heat, Rob.
All right, Terry, thanks a lot. Great to hear from you. Thank you. I think it was, Churchill was actually, I think, you know, the strong man. People looked at Neville Chamberlain coming back from a meeting in Germany and saying we're going to have peace in our time. I think the Chamberlain story is quite deep, and so I'm not going to go into it right now, but it's often very poorly reported what the actual Chamberlain agreement was all about. One day we should probably get a historian on to talk about that. Adam writes this, Trump again falsely claimed that, oh no, we read that from you, Adam, thank you. And then here's somebody from the 813 area code says, my bovine excrement meter redlined on that word change, writes Stephen. 813 writes, go DeSantis in the primary, he should be easier to beat than Putnam in November, writes 813 anonymously. Edward writes this, President Obama needs to continue to publicly share this message every day, and we need to demand the media to broadcast and factually report on Obama's speeches to all Americans, writes Edward. And Bill actually writes this, the Tampa Bay Times characterized Trump's pathological lies regarding our intelligence services as slipping. Since the Times became the monopoly Tampa Bay newspaper, its swerve to the right is palpable. All right. So, Bill, thank you for your thoughts. We're going to go back to the phones. You are listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to John in South Tampa. John, you're on. What would you like to comment about?
Hi, Rob. In regards to the gubernatorial race here in Florida, I read an article, and forgive me, I forget where I read it. It might have been in the Times. It might have been on CNN, on the Internet. I don't know. But it goes like this, that it was written by a progressive, I think. And it goes like this, that DeSantis, will perhaps overpower Putnam. And that, on its surface, might look like a bad thing, but if you play it out, it'll be good for progressives as far as when the actual gubernatorial race takes place. You'll have this radical Trumpian DeSantis running against a Democratic candidate, more moderate and intelligent, hopefully, and progressive, and that'll be a good outcome. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Just thought I'd mention.
Yeah, and there's an article on the front page of the Tampa Bay Times today that talks about DeSantis's chances, his prospects for winning the Republican nomination. I think what's going to happen is that this November election is going to be nationalized by the Democrats. The Democrats are going to want to use Trump as the whipping boy in all the campaigns. So they're going to tie DeSantis, if he's the Republican leader, if he's running for governor, they're going to tie DeSantis to Trump. If in the Scott Nelson race, they're going to tie Scott to Trump. I mean, every Republican candidate on the ballot is going to be tied to Trump by the Democrats. The question is, are there more Democrats who are angry at Trump than there are Republicans who love Trump? That's really going to be the question in the November races.
I agree, and we're all hoping for a blue wave, but I'm not so optimistic anymore. My final point is a little bit different, on a different topic, real quick, is that, yes, I'm on the bandwagon, and I consider myself a progressive, and Trump, in my mind, is an abomination, but I would counsel everybody to just take a deep breath and get off this bandwagon a little bit about our intelligence services. Don't forget that they got, beginning with Vietnam, and probably before Vietnam, they got us involved, well, in part, they were partially responsible due to faulty intelligence, either negligent or just, you know, through negligence or through or being on purpose, got us involved in, what, 2, 3, 4 wars? I mean, yellow cake, uranium, and, I mean, I can go on and on and on. I would just advise a little people to go slow and just don't forget history. I'm not saying a conspiracy theory and all that, but I'm just advising a little bit of people should slow down and be wary of getting on these bandwagons. Thanks,
all right.
Rob.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Yeah, there's no doubt that the U.S. intelligence agencies in the 50s went into places like Iran and Guatemala, overthrew democratically elected governments there. In Chile, in the early 1970s, helped to overthrow the democratically elected government there. You know, I just, you got to hope that those agencies now have a conscience. And we know the terrible outcome in Chile, the terrible outcome in Iran, terrible outcome in Guatemala. It doesn't work. We should let those countries decide for themselves. And so let's hope that there are professionals in the insurance, in the intelligence community who say, either say to their bosses no, or come out and tell us publicly what governments are the U.S. is currently trying to undermine. I don't think it's right for us to go into other countries, just like we're all angry if indeed Russia meddled in our election and had an impact on the outcome. We're all angry about it. Most Americans are angry about it. We don't want other countries meddling in our affairs. Let's not meddle in other countries' affairs, right? 813-239-9663 is our phone number. You know, Sacha Baron Cohen, the actor, has a new series on Showtime. It's called Who is America? And several people are already complaining about it, including Sarah Palin and former Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. They say that they said things on his TV show that they might not ordinarily say about politics in front of a camera. So we're going to listen to a clip from the new Sacha Baron Cohen TV series, Who is America? We're going to hear Cohen interview Colonel Aaron Murad. Cohen's alter ego. He pretends he's a guy named Colonel Aaron Murad, a self-proclaimed anti-terrorism expert who believes that the NRA's suggestion to arm school teachers is falling short. He wants the organization to focus on arming children, and you'll hear how young he wants children to be armed. And so Cohen went and talked to a bunch of people, including gun rights activists like Philip Van Cleve and Larry Pratt, and Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson, and former legislator, former Congressman Joe Walsh. So let's listen in to the new TV show from Sacha Baron Cohen. I want to get your take on this.
Sheket Zahir, my name, Colonel Eran Murad. I am the terrorist terminator.
In America, there is big problem of shootings in schools. The NRA want to arm the teachers. This is crazy. They should be arming the children. Yalla, let's go.
Get deadly weapons into the hands of America's school children. I needed the help of gun rights hero, Philip Van Cleve.
My next guest is a gun rights advocate who says the Bushmaster semi-automatic rifle, the type of rifle that Adam Lanza used to kill 20 children and 6 more adults, is, quote, a blast to shoot with. Guns are fun. Some of them are much more cool than others. Are you proud of what you said?
It's just a fact.
In America, there have been a lot of shootings in the school and in the university. What do the liberals say is the reason for this and the solution?
Well, they blame it on guns. Yeah, it's crazy because
they blame it on the guns?
Yes.
Mushugah.
Yes.
It's mushugah.
It is.
We start a program in Israel for kindergartens.
Okay.
We train them from the age 16 down to the age 3.
Yeah, well, I think it would be a good idea. We've been pushing something along this line for years, but really haven't gotten any traction with it. We were thinking 7th or 8th grade. You're talking much younger than that.
My son was in the very first program. May he rest in peace. He died doing what I love.
Yeah, they haven't quite developed what we call conscience, where you feel guilty about doing something wrong. That's developing. That you're learning right and wrong. If they haven't developed that yet, they could be very effective soldiers. This year, in our state government, they had a bill put in that would have made it illegal for someone 4 years old to 12 years old to have access to a gun. We killed the bill.
They tried to stop four-year-old children from having access to guns?
Yes, yes.
What is the logic that these people come up with?
They just think that children can't handle them.
We want three-year-olds who are real experts at what they're doing, not three-year-olds who are reckless.
Yeah.
And we don't teach two-year-olds because they call it the terrible twos for
yes,
a reason.
There's a reason, yes.
So I would like you to help me do instructional video for three-year-olds.
Okay.
Shalom, children. My name is Ran Morad. I here to show you that guns, when used responsibly, with training from grown-ups, can help keep you safe in your school. Here to help teach you is Philip Van Cleef. Not every strange man you meet gonna be friendly and non-threatening like me.
Today, we're gonna teach you how you can stop these naughty men and have them take a long nap.
That's right, and that's why you're going to meet a friend of mine. His name is Papi Pistol. Now, Philip, will you show us how to feed Papi Pistol?
To feed him, take his lunchbox and push it into his tummy, like this. Just remember to point Puppy Pistol's mouth right at the middle of the bad man. If he has a big fat tummy, point at that.
Great! It's fun!
Okay.
Puppy Pistol is part of a whole group of new friends that your parents can get you, called Gunimal. Wouldn't you love to meet this little gunny rabbit?
He's ready to put the naughty man on a very long time out.
How about the magical Uzi cone?
Well, this is one for the girls. It's a lovely little unicorn that you can play with.
Dino Gun can stop an entire crowd of bad men.
And Tots, you gotta learn that Dino Gun eats and spits his candy really, really fast.
Rocket Ship RPG will take you to the moon.
Or rather, the bad guys are going to the moon if they attack your school with a truck full of big, scary fireworks.
And introducing BFF, a starter gun for infants 24 months and under. BFF is so easy to fire, even a baby can use it.
BFF wants to help you. Pull the string on a bad guy. Make bang, bang. Aim at the head, shoulders, not the toes, not the toes.
Fire!
Head, shoulders, not the toes, not the toes.
Fire!
Eyes, ears, and belly, and nose. Head, shoulders, not the toes, not the toes.
Fire!
Now that I had a common sense training video, it was time to take it to the nation's capital.
I just arrived in Washington to see if someone would back my kindergarten's program.
I needed to find politicians who would fight for the Second Amendment right of toddlers to bear firearms at preschool. So I met with lobbyist Larry Pratt, director of Gun Owners of America, which have 1.5 million brave members.
The evil's in our hearts, not in the guns.
Do you think the liberals are using these school shootings to further their anti-tragedy agenda?
They're trying. But it's not that hard to find a student who does think that way, because that's what they're being taught in the schools.
We actually found out that in schools, it's not only important to arm the teachers, it's important to arm certain gifted children.
Oh, that's great.
We train from 16-year-old up to 4 years old.
This segment of the conversation would absolutely cause heads to explode here in this country.
Why? Because they will be shot, or
because that they're so prejudiced against young people having guns, and especially in a school.
The only thing that stops a bad man with a gun is a good boy with a gun.
Yeah, even a good toddler.
Exactly, a toddler. Really, the great thing about toddlers is they don't have any fear of guns. This fear is really given to you by the media.
That's a good point. Well, if they hear somebody shouting Allahu Akbar, they're likely to instinctively go for that gun.
We had one problem with this. There was a Muslim gardener who was praying, and he said Allahu Akbar, and he got shot.
Pray in secret.
Women need a gun. You know, my wife, she have a gun, and she shot me once. You know, what can I do? I get horny in the middle of the night. But it's not rape if it's your wife, eh? Right.
That probably won't be on the video we send to the Hill.
Oh, no. What do I need in order to introduce this program into America?
There are a few members of Congress that I think would be as receptive to what you're doing as I have been. I'd be very happy to see if we could get them interested to set some time aside.
Great. Let's see if we can stop these anti-gun people from getting everyone killed.
Yeah. They've got blood on their hands.
Now that I had this Pratt on board, I was welcomed into the halls of Congress, where I sat down with a House representative and outlined my common sense proposal.
Oh, you want me to say on television that I support 3- and 4-year-olds with firearms? Is that what you're asking me to do?
Yes. You can do.
Typically, members of Congress don't just hear a story about a program and then indicate whether they support it or not.
I support the kindergartens program. We in America would be wise to implement it too. It's something that we should think about in America, about putting guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens, good guys, whether they be teachers or whether they actually be talented children or highly trained preschoolers.
Maybe having young people trained and understand how to defend themselves in their school might actually make us safer here.
A 3-year-old cannot defend itself from an assault rifle by throwing a Hello Kitty pencil case at it. Our founding fathers did not put an age limit on the Second Amendment.
The intensive 3-week kindergarten course introduces specially selected children from 12 to 4 years old to pistols, rifles, semi-automatics, and a rudimentary knowledge of mortars. In less than a month, a first grader can become a first grenader.
Toddlers are pure, uncorrupted by fake news or homosexuality. They don't worry if it's politically correct to shoot a mentally deranged gunman. They'll just do it. The science behind this program is proven. At age 4, a child processes images 80% faster than an adult, meaning that essentially, like owls, they can see in slow motion. Children under 5 also have elevated levels of the pheromone Blink-182, produced by the part of the liver known as the Rita Ara. This allows nerve reflexes to travel along the Cardi B neural pathway to the Wiz Khalifa 40% faster, saving time and saving lives.
When it comes to the safety of our children,
the way to stop a bad guy with a gun
is a good kid with a gun.
A good kid with a gun.
A good child with a gun. Happy shooting, kids. I need a
hospital. Well, that's an excerpt from Sacha Baron Cohen's new video, Who is America? It shows on Showtime. We heard lots of gun enthusiasts there, including gun rights group leaders Philip Van Cleve and Larry Pratt, We also heard Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, South Carolina's Congressman Joe Wilson, and former Congressman Joe Walsh, all seeming to endorse the Kindergartens program pushed by Sacha Baron Cohen, including arming 3- and 4-year-olds and toddlers, laughing about shooting a Muslim who was praying, laughing about it's not rape if it's your wife, no age limit on the Second Amendment, rudimentary knowledge of mortars would be taught to people 4 to 12 years old, and one person in that video making the claim that children under 5 can see in slow motion. And I'll send you a copy of that, the excerpt that we just showed. I'll send you the video copy if you want to email me at dj@wmnf.org. Matt in Spring Hill, regarding President Trump on Monday, says this: what we just witnessed, the highest-ranking U.S. government official defecting to a hostile government. That's Matt in Spring Hill. Barry says this: this may be the first time that Trump has ever admitted to misspeaking. Is that a silver lining, writes Barry? And B. Tucker writes, watching the left defend the intelligence services over remarks by Trump is mind blown. These are the same drug running, gun running, foreign officials assassinating, post-war Nazi hiring, WMD lying, domestic activist group infiltrating and spying, experiments without knowledge of subject conducting, regime overthrowing, agent provocateuring. This is B. Tucker's email from cyberspace. B. Tucker, thank you. And then here's an 813 email. It says, of course Trump was lying. His lips were moving. Thanks for the Obama speech. Is it available in full? Yeah. Lou in Tampa, it is available in full. You can find it online. I can't do a Google search right now, but it is available online, the entire speech. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF. And let's go to Jeff in Dunedin. Jeff, what's your take on what you've heard so far?
I got such a kick.
Hey, Jeff, did we lose you? Hey, Jeff? Jeff, did we lose you? All right, Jeff, I think we lost you. Sorry about that. 813-239-9663. Tommy writes this: it seems that Trump thinks the fact that the U.S. and Russia control 90% of nuclear weapons in the world should allow them to bully all other countries. Trump desperately wants to be Putin's peer, but sadly the Russian president makes Trump look infantile, writes Tommy. And 813 writes, it was so nice to hear complete logical sentences. I saw excerpts from the Trump rally last week, and the president rambled on and on about breaking Elton John records and other records. Were no complete sentences. There were no complete sentences or thoughts, writes Wayne. No coherent thoughts anywhere in the statement, he says. 813-239-9663. Well, let's go to Daryl in Tampa. Daryl, what are your thoughts on what you've heard so far?
Well, Rob, before the segment that you played, which was very interesting, I would like to say about the guy who called in, said he was a veteran. I think what he was trying to say, he's very passionate, but it was really Neville Chamberlain who, with the papers of impeachment,
exactly.
Peace in our time.
Yep.
Peace in our times. And then this shows you, history has proven time and time again, you can't trust somebody who's psychotic and crazy because they already had their aims of what they want to do. And then the other caller before you played that segment, I think what's going on is that I don't know so much about a blue wave. I think it's going to be an American wave. And a lot of people are getting a cold, very cold splash of reality to the lies that have been going on for decades. Yeah, this is the FBI, which unofficially stands for fidelity, bravery, and integrity. But it's the same FBI that engaged in dealing with people like Lucky Luciano in World War II. The same FBI that I believe with COINTELPRO that also dealt with the mob and using the mob's help with the civil rights movement that was going on. I'll leave that to the rest of you all out there to research that. But yeah, they did. If the people who we look for bravery and integrity and, you know, the American way, but they also have a dirty side. And I think a lot of Americans are starting to see that now. And for Donald Trump, what can I say? I told you so.
All
and
right,
I just hope that a lot of young people are not going to lose their lives behind this gentleman.
All right, Daryl, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. Yes, yeah, and the FBI spied on Dr. King, too, which was a real low point in American history. You know, as I said before, I just hope that people within the professionals within those agencies, whether they're spy agencies or the FBI, have a conscience and say to their bosses, we shouldn't engage in that kind of behavior that we learned from in the 50s and 60s and 70s that was wrong, including COINTELPRO. James writes this, call me sentimental, but I heard Obama's speech and I miss someone who is thoughtful and intelligent and not me or degrading someone. Will we ever see it again, writes James. And then Andy writes this, I do not see why Russia would do it. This means the speaker has no idea whatsoever why Russia would even want to interfere in our government business operations, elections, etc. I do not see why Russia would do it. This says, I'm not surprised that they did it. Why not? So that's Andy's take out there. Andy, thank you. And 813 writes, Sasha Baron Cohen is awesome, very funny. I think of his work as guerrilla comedy. All right, let's go to Betty in Sarasota. Betty, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, great show as always, Rob. Just a couple of things. I feel and fear that many and most Americans are not aware just how much we've infiltrated. I was so pleased to hear Carlos a little while earlier and the gentleman Terry after that who had some wonderful things to say. In terms of what Carlos said and what you followed up with, yes, we've been involved with CIA operations since the get-go. It did start in the 50s with the takeover of Mossadegh. We slammed him. We brought in our own operatives to smear him, make him sound like a communist, but he was defeated. They brought in the Shah of Iran, which was a disaster. Same thing has happened in so many other countries, El Salvador, Nicaragua. Of course, we've been everywhere. We still are. And so I think it's a disgrace and a terrible misuse of American tax dollars, obviously. In terms of what's going on with the FBI and CIA, even though they have so much blood on their hands, particularly with the last Iraq war, where they've, you know, participated in rendition of suspected individuals and so forth, it's scandalous that we have a president that has thrown them under the bus in such a huge way when, in fact, he needs them. So I am hoping that these people who tend to be Republicans and conservatives will turn their backs on conservatives and on Trump and possibly either become independents or, hey, even vote for Democrats. So that's my hope.
All right, Betty, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. Carl writes this, I was going to call because I'm white hot about Trump, but your caller, Terry, said it well for me just now. This is truly stunning, and I'm so surprised that although Trump is a master fibber, he really messed the bed on this European trip and the Helsinki summit. Oh, listening to our President Obama yesterday was like a blessed shower of cool water. I'm going to have to make some recordings of his speeches for when I get frustrated, writes Carl. Carl, thanks for your email. Robert writes this, I saw the first episode last night of Sacha Baron Cohen on Amazon. It's Sasha being Sasha. If people don't like being portrayed as moronic on TV, then maybe they shouldn't say the things that they say. Sasha is simply holding these people accountable. The first episode starts with Bernie Sanders. Bernie handles himself well because he doesn't hold radical positions. That's Robert. Yeah, you know, if somebody's going to suggest that we should arm 3- and 4-year-olds and teach people under 12 about the rudimentary knowledge of mortars, and if you're laughing about shooting a Muslim who's praying, I mean, would you do that if you were tempted to by somebody who is dressed up as a clown or and if you knew the TV cameras were running, if film cameras were running, would you do that anyway? Are you the kind of person that thinks that we should arm 3- and 4-year-olds? I don't, just because Sacha Baron Cohen dressed up as somebody else, and if you look at him, he looks like a guy who works out, and he looks like he might be an ex-military guy. He's not dressed in a uniform or anything during the segment that I played. But, you know, how far would somebody have to fool you to get you to say that we should arm 3- and 4-year-olds? And these are congresspeople that are agreeing with this. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We're going to go back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Tampa. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Hello, it's Kevin. I'd like to say who I think is going to be the 2020 nominee for the Democratic election.
Okay.
I wanted to call out Eric Garcetti. He is the mayor, current mayor of L.A. It's a large major city. And he's got deep roots. His father, his grandfather is Italian that migrated over to Mexico. He's actually Jewish. He's a Mexican-American that's Jewish. He's a businessman. He's a mayor of a large city. But also he's been traveling with President Obama to go over, and he's kind of being groomed right now. He was in L.A. recently when Obama was out there. But also he gave a 2016 DNC speech that you can go and review. But I feel very strongly that this is the candidate that you're going to see before you taking on Trump in the 2020 election.
All right. And tell me, what kind of debater do you think he is?
Oh, he's groomed. He's got his Harvard. He's from Harvard, and he's a lawyer. He's got the pedigree that everyone that you would see that would run for a position like that. But if you go and look at his speeches, he clearly states that he's Mexican American. He's also Jewish. I know President Trump has had with him putting the embassy in Jerusalem, that's been a big pull for the Jewish community. And so electing someone with a Jewish heritage will be something that the Democrats will try to do this, I think, this election. I know we looked at Bernie Sanders. That was one of his big pulls. So I think he would be a good candidate to go. And he's just got a great pedigree. And I'd just like to hear what your thoughts would be on that.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot. Yeah, I think there are a lot of interesting mayors this time around who are running. And I think there are a lot of members of Congress. The eventual nominee could be somebody that is not even on our radar right now. Let's go back to the phones. We're going to go to Jason in Riverview. Jason, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, you there?
I am.
Hey, yeah, that skit you just played from Showtime, I actually saw that on YouTube the other day, and I thought it was a total spoof. I was getting ready to call you and ask you if you had references to these guys. I didn't realize that they were real politicians.
They are real politicians, yes. And they are real heads of gun rights groups.
Yeah, that just blows my mind, because I'm for gun rights, but more on a let's go hunting, kind of live off the land kind of thing. And giving a kid a gun or any kind of weapon, that part just blows my mind. And also, I wanted to kind of touch base with what your last caller said about the whole Jewish thing. And for me, Trump, I believe he has a lot of Zionist ideals. And I almost feel like his meeting with Putin was more on the lines of what's going on with Syria and Israel over there, because, you know, Putin has the UN rights to fly over Syria. Israel and the U.S., they do not. So there's a whole lot of conflict over there, and I feel like he almost might be a puppet for Israel, and that's why it was a behind-the-doors kind of conversation, because it might not have had anything to do with America, really, per se. I think he's trying to negotiate things outside of the country for Israel, and that's what his relations with Putin might actually be. So I'd just love to hear what people have to think about that as well.
All right, Jason, thanks for your thoughts on that. Israel is, at least its economy is tiny compared, I think, to Russia's, although Israel has a pretty dynamic economy, but I think Russia is much bigger. I don't know. That's a good question. Denny writes this, I smell a rat. We need to reinstate the House Un-American Activities Committee immediately. Donald J. Trump, is attempting to destabilize all checks and balances meant to protect democracy from the likes of him. All right, so thank you for that. And here's an email from 813. They write, good people seeking asylum at our border from bad people with guns should be given guns and sent back, writes 813. You think that makes any sense? What do you think? Suzanne writes this regarding guns. Sasha has always been irreverent, and we expect that from him. However, the others are just insane and vile. Yeah, if you want to see that video, I'll email it to you. It's all over the internet, so you know, if you do a search, you'll find it pretty quickly. But I'll send you a copy if you can't find it. Just email me at dj@wmnf.org. Thanks to Frank Knox. He's our phone producer today. And stay tuned, because NOLA's coming up on the Midpoint program, and then 1 o'clock right here on 88.5 FM. We've got the executive session program. This is WMNF Tampa St. Petersburg. If you want to comment about today's show, you can call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We're going to probably focus on the Democratic debate that's taking place later on today in Fort Myers. We'll play some of the highlights back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. This is WMNF Tampa St. Petersburg. Let's go to Washington, D.C. right now and get the latest news.